Tasya
of
Yavrishvara Sainika
Soldiers
Yavana
Yavanas
Chara
Followers
Bhuta
of Living Entities
Upasarga
at
the time of distress. Asu,
very soon.
Raja,
very powerful.
Prajvara,
named
Prajvara.
Dvivida,
two kinds.
Jvara,
fever.
Evam,
thus.
Bahu vidai,
of different varieties.
Dukai,
by tribulations.
Daiva,
by providence.
Buddha,
by other living entities.
Atma,
by the body and mind.
Sambhavai,
produced.
Krishyamana,
subjected to sufferings.
Satam,
hundred.
Varsham,
years.
Dehe,
in the body.
Dehi,
the living entity.
Samavritta,
covered by material existence.
Prana,
of life.
Indriya,
of the senses.
Mana,
of the mind.
Dharman,
characteristics.
Atmani,
unto the soul.
Adyasya,
wrongly attributing.
Nirguna,
although transcendental.
Sete,
lies down.
Kama,
of sense enjoyment.
Lavan,
on fragments.
Jayam,
meditating.
Mama,
mine.
Aham,
I.
Iti,
thus.
Karma krit,
the actor. Translation and purport by Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Srila Prabhupada.
The followers of Yamaneshvara Yamaraj are called the soldiers of death, and they are known as the various types of disturbances that pertain to the body and mind. Prajvara represents the two types of fever: extreme heat and extreme cold, typhoid and pneumonia. A living entity lies down within the body, is disturbed by many tribulations pertaining to providence, to other living entities, and to his own body and mind. Despite all kinds of tribulations, the living entity, subjected to the necessities of the body, mind and senses, and suffering from various types of diseases, is carried away by many plants due to his lust to enjoy the world. Although transcendental to this material existence, the living entity out of ignorance accepts all of these material miseries under the pretext of false egoism, I and mine. In this way, he lives for 100 years within this body. You can repeat. The followers of Yaneshvara,
Yamaraj,
are called the soldiers of death.
And they are known as the various types
of disturbances
that pertain to the body and mind.
Prajvara represents the two types of fever:
extreme heat
and extreme cold,
typhoid and pneumonia.
Typhoid and pneumonia. The living entity lies down within the body. Is disturbed by many tribulations. Pertaining to providence.
To
all the living entities.
And to his own body and mind.
Despite all kinds of tribulations. The living entity. Subjected to the necessities of the body.
Mind and senses.
And sufferings from various types of diseases,
is carried away by many plans
due to his lust to enjoy the world.
Although transcendental
to his material existence,
the living entity out of ignorance
accepts all these material miseries.
Under the pretext of false egoism.
I am mine.
In this way he lives for 100 years.
Within the body.
Perfect.
In the Vedas it is stated, Asambhayam Purusha. The living entity is actually separate from material existence. For the soul is not material. In Bhagavad Gita, it is also said that the living entity is the superior energy, and the material elements, earth, water, fire, air, and so on, are the inferior energy. The material elements are also described as bina, or separate energy. When the internal or superior energy comes in contact with the external energy, it is subjected to so many tribulations. In Bhagavad Gita 2.14, the Lord also says, Matras Parshas Tukamteya Shitoshna Sukadukadam. Because of the material body, the living entity is subjected to many tribulations brought about by air, water, fire, extreme heat, extreme cold, sunshine, excessive eating, unhealthy food, male adjustments of the three elements of the body, kapha, pitta, and vayu, and so on. The intestines, the throat, the brain, and the other parts of the body are affected by all kinds of diseases that are so powerful that they become sources of extreme suffering for the living entity. The living entity, however, is different from all these material elements. The two types of fever described in this verse can be explained in contemporary language as pneumonia and typhoid. But there is extreme fever in the body, that is typhoid and pneumonia, and they are described as prajvara. There are also other miseries created by other living entities. The state exacts taxes, and there are also many thieves, rogues, and cheaters. Miseries brought about by other living entities are called adibhautika. There are also miseries in the form of famine, pestilence, scarcity, war, earthquakes, and so on. These are caused by the demigods or other sources beyond our control. Actually, there are many enemies of the living entities, and these are all described to point out how miserable this material existence is. Knowing the basic misery of material existence, one should be induced to get out of the material clutches and return home, back to Godhead. Actually, the living entity is not at all happy in his material body. Because of the body, he suffers thirst and hunger and is influenced by the mind, by words, by anger, by the belly, by the genitals, by the rectum, and so on. Manifold miseries encircle the transcendental living entity, simply because he desires to satisfy his senses in this material world. If he simply withdraws from activities of sense gratification and applies his senses in the service of the Lord, all the problems of material existence will immediately diminish. And with the advancement of Krishna consciousness, he will be freed from all tribulation and, after giving up the body, he will turn home, back to Godhead. Ať je kalba tu dešel, který pás je nějaký ještě a patitě nám padaný byl vašná v bílu nebo vlá. Námo Vishnu, Praje Krishna, Prasthaya Mukhne, Srimad Bhakti Vinanta Swami, Itinandi. Namaste Sarasvati Devi, Gauravani, Pratyamini, Nivishesh, Shunivari, Pashtyavi, Shikharini. Om Jyanati Marandasya, Garandyana, Srakya, Chachuru, Mirtam, Yena, Tasmari, Shri, Gurve, Namah. Shri Dup, Shri Saratan, Baturagana, Shri Jiva, Gopala, Bhakata, Saragana, Satku, Swami, Kiyai. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadara Shrivas Adi Gaur Bhakti Vrindaki Shri Nishinga Jaya Shinga Jaya Jaya Narasinga Deva Praradesa Jaya Pakma Mukha Pakma Vrindam Om Namo Bhakti Narasinga Jaya Steja Steja Shira Vira Vira Vrajanika Vrajya Damsta Karmasyam Randya Randya Tanmo Prasankrasam Swaha Abhyam Abhyam Atmani Vuyi Shishta Om Kusram Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram, 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 Hare Hare.
So there's a picture in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and the picture that gives this story, the story of the king Duranjana, how his body is dwindling, and it's kind of very dark and gloomy picture. So if you see it, it looks a little bit hellish. You know, we have also this depiction of the different hellish punishments which are given. So this picture looks a little like this. So the purport of Srila Prabhupada, he looks also a little like this picture. So if you mean this picture, or if you mean this purport, and then some one might say you are very pessimistic about this world. It's a very dark description of this world. You look like very pessimistic. How can you enjoy life if you think in this way? And this fact is, it's probably he enlists so many troubles and sufferings, so that it diminishes your desire to enjoy this world. So this is actually also the goal of the spiritual master. That is his goal, actually, to take away from you the desire to enjoy this material world. And he showed how the material world in which we are living, how this world really is. Because if you are in illusion, they say love makes blind. That's the saying, that if you love something, then that love is blinding actually to the reality of them. So love for the material world is called lust. So this lust or love for the material world is blinding us for the reality. And we have to go blindfolded, and we cannot see anymore clear in which situation we are in. So if you tell all these things to a materialist, he feels very much disturbed. He said, "You disturb my enjoyment, you know? Go away. I'm going to tell this somewhere else." But this is the reality of life, and that this material world is a place of suffering. And if you think that it's a place of enjoyment, and then you are really an illusion. You are really like blinded by this, because the reality is this. This is the reality. So the spiritual master, he helps us to take away. So now the movie also, he shows his king that like, look what, now you're strong, now you're enjoying your kingdom. Life looks very prosperous, around you all nice ladies, nice buildings, nice rooms with diamonds and ivory tables and nice bedding. So it looks all very nice, but actually you have to see what is coming. So the body gets older and then it gets into fire. Perhaps this fever, and the body will burn down. So the king, he could do two things.
he could say, stop it, this nonsense, because actually you take away the taste for me, for enjoying my kingdom. But the king, he feels that Narada Muni is not preaching out of false ego to try to get some control over him, but that Narada Muni actually is preaching out of compassion. It's compassion, and by which actually he is telling the reality of life, that actually you don't know, but you are actually engaged in this mature body, and so much suffering is waiting on you, and even because you do such a horrible activities to other living entities, you're hunting other living entities, you sacrifice them, so even you put more suffering on you. So this is Narada Muni actually preaching this out of compassion. And so there's the Vaishnava, because he has compassion for all the fallen souls, so he will distribute transcendental knowledge. And so to take away their desire to enjoy this material world and to go back home, back to Godhead. So if you look if you want to rent a book in the library, which also like giving a little bit a picture of this, it's good to buy a medical encyclopedia. So this, go to this book and see what kind of diseases the mature world has all ready for you. And you see these photographs from all kinds of these horrible infections and diseases. But that is reality. That is reality. You go to the hospital, you can find all these kind of troubles. That is reality. Of course, the living entity, and we are suffering only because we are, because of false egotism, because we identify the body with ourselves, body and the mind with ourselves. And because of this, actually there is so much suffering. And the Bhagavad Gita, he mentioned this first, Bhumi Abhondalo Vajukamano Bhuti Ekhanka Iti Yame Bina Asada. So Bina means it's a separate energy. So this is very, we mentioned this word, and it's a very interesting word, because we heard also that if you separate something from Krishna, it's Maya. So here Krishna says, this entity is separate from me. So it's clearly like a duality. One says, if you see something not connected with Krishna, it's Maya. And then he said, it is separate. So I was thinking that that's because of the nature. It's like if you have water, water can transform into ice cream and transform into hot steam. So although they are both the same origin, they have become completely different from each other. And the hot steam is like air, it's coming into the air, and can burn even some person if you put your hand above hot steam. And ice is very cool, and it's like a rock, so it's compact. So there is a complete different nature, although they come from the same nature. So in that sense, matter and spirit, they come from the same source. They come from Krishna. They're both Krishna's energy, but because they manifest in a different way, and therefore actually they look like separate. Because the matter is has other qualities. And we as living entities, we are Sat-Chit-Ananda, originally, in our original form. We are eternal, we are full of ananda, and we are also full of consciousness. But we see that the material entity is the opposite.
is temporary. All the forms in this world are temporary, and they are full of tamas. They have no consciousness, and actually it feels very miserable. We experience this material world as miserable, not as ananda. So we are separate in that sense. But in another sense, it feels that they are also one. And I read once a very interesting conversation of Srila Prabhupada with Hamsadutta Maharaj at that time. And he was saying that actually material energy is also spiritual energy. He said, actually there's no difference, he said, but the mature energy is actually spiritual energy in a deep state of forgetfulness, or tamas. So he said, that is, he said, but we don't preach like this. Actually, this is for us internal. He said, don't preach. This is for the outside world. We make a very clear distinction between matter and spirit for the preaching purpose. He said, but actually, material energy is also spiritual energy, but in a deep state of tamas, of forgetfulness. Because in the spiritual world, everything, all Krishna's energies are unconscious. So when we associate with this material energy as spirit souls, and then there, because of the association, something changes in us, although we are Satchit-Ananda. But when we associate with matter, and then, like, you know, now maybe Rasa Mandala is like, his body is like 37 degrees, and if you give him a hand, you feel it's warm. But if you put Rasa Mandala for a half hour in the fridge, because of his association with the ice cubes, he feels like ice. So, in that sense, so because of this association, yes, change its qualities. So it's also like, if we come to the material world and we associate with the material world, then our nature is also changing. We become also like temporary, and we also become tamasic, unconscious, and we also become full of suffering. So that is because of the association. And with matter, Prabhupada said, from time immemorial. And the more we associate with matter, the more we get to this ignorance. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna said, it is pure lust, Arjuna, that brings the person to sin. And it's because of the association with the material energy, and that this lust, is arising. So when the living entity comes from the spiritual world in contact with the material world, then by because of that association, he gradually he falls down because of this, and his lust is developing. And this lust is all the devouring energy of the living entity because it makes him blind. And so King Prachini Bharamsat, he was also blinded by his lust. And he had not any more compassion for all other living entities. So that Narada Muni, he made them aware because you don't know what you're doing. Actually, because of your lust and greed, because of your fruitive activities, you're giving suffering to all living entities. So and that is what's happening, actually, when we become selfish and we want to get into this idea of sense gratification. And we get more and more covered by ignorance, and also by we will not become conscious anymore of the feelings of other living entities. We are not even aware that we don't even think for a moment that there is another living entity like me in the other body. So devotees, they gradually develop this compassion, this feeling for other living entities, but we can see around us how many people are there who are living just like animals. Because animals are in the deep state of ignorance. So they have no compassion for other animals. And even said that the tigers, they even or the lions, they eat their own cubs sometimes. So and we have seen in the past how how big demons kill millions of people without any compassion, no any feeling of for the feelings of others. So you can see how much a living entity can become degraded because of this lust, and because of actually is blind, become blind for all these things. So now the Muni points out that you don't know, but you are actually going down to hell. You're approaching a hell's life because all this suffering that you put on others, that will come back to you. So that's the law of karma. So therefore this world is a very dangerous world, because we also can glide back to this ignorance. It's not that because we come to Krishna consciousness that we are safe. We are on the boat, but we are still not on the land.
And so everything can happen.
And therefore we have to be always very attentive to our surroundings. And that it's very helpful also to live in association of the homies, because sometimes maybe we have some weak moments, and then there are other devotees around us who are strong, and they can make us aware of Prabhu. See, I think you are gliding on a little bit downwards to the materiality. See, if I was you, I would come some offering to Mogalardi and chant you around to the devotees, and go to Srimad Bhagavatam class more often, and that will help you. So in the association of devotees, you are like have some kind of protection against Maya, because it's a very difficult world. And if devotees, they help you like that, if they are, you know, sometimes devotees, they say something like you, and then we have to be humble and say, okay, see, I have to be watch out, maybe he is right, And we should see this as compassion, and not as this body of he tried to take control over me, or he's envious, or that he said, hey, and I should think maybe seriously about it, maybe do something about it. And like the same like this king, because Narada Muni, of course, he is a sannyasi, he is a sadhu, he is well known. So, you know, for him it was more easy to accept authority, although he was in a high position. But still, you know, sometimes things go wrong. Like that, there's a in the Vajrayana Dharma, it said that the sannyas order is the highest order, and it's above the ksatriyas, you have the brahmas. So the brahmas should give direction to the ksatriyas. And so you can see here, Narada Muni is a brahma, and he very nicely he gives direction to the ksatriya in a very humble way, by not pointing out directly the fault that you are wrong because you do this and this, but he has to give an allegorical story. And he knows the king, although he's not the highest class, but he's quite intelligent. He will understand what I mean. So it's some kind of detect, not like blindly detect. He is approaching the king to point out his mistake. So we need this had a little holy day. Not holy day. We went to England, to Canterbury and to Oxford and to the manor. And in Canterbury we went to the cathedral, and we learned some things there from Henry the Eighth. Henry the Eighth, he was a king, and he was a Catholic. But then he wanted to have a second wife, and the church was not agreeing. You can correct me because you are English. But Henry VIII was not. The church was not agreeing that he wanted to have a second wife. And they said, no, you cannot have a second wife. He said, but I won't have a second wife. No, you cannot.
So, and because that conflict, actually, he stopped his Catholicism and he started his own church, the Anglican Church. Yeah. So, after that, you know, he ordered the demolition of all the monasteries in England. Like 1,000 monasteries were like destroyed by him. You know, the monks were being chased out, and all the costly things they were used for his purposes. And now there's only like some ruins left. So you can see that if the authority, the king, he has some power, he can, you know, they can make a religion big, you know, like Buddhism, but they can also destroy it. And they have the power. So this, you see, if the Brahmas are not like tactful with, you know, with dealing with this kind of things, and then they can do a lot of harm. So this is also communication, you know, how to communicate something. So now Moody is quite intelligent in that way, how to communicate it to the king. So it gets a lot of disturbance like that. And also now we see that in Belgium also, Belgium got famous all over the world because of the child abuse, and with the true, and with all kinds of priests. So because they made this mistake of not allowing priests to marry, you know, that is like, and now if the mistake becomes like more obvious. Yeah. So that they because they not allow priests to marry, and therefore you get all this kind of misdeeds, and because they are not free of lust, because not because you become a priest you are free immediately of lusty desires, and or of the desire for some sense gratification. And so therefore you have different types of brahmanas, and they can marry. And they can sometimes, you know, vehicles, they have marry even more than one wife, also brahmanas. So because of this now, actually the Catholic Church is like, you know, getting a lot of problems. And they actually, I heard that in 1 week, last year we were in Germany, in Wurzburg, and yes, in 1 week time, 5,000 people have written themselves out of the church. Just in 1 week time. 5,000 people, they just say, I don't want to be any more Catholic. And so it goes very, very, very quick. So there we see it's very important. So how we deal with that kind of things. And that we should also respect authority and also the worldly authority and deal in a tactful way with them. So Prabhupada actually he finishes his purport and by saying that it is simple because of one thing. Everything is very simple in Krishna consciousness. Is it simply because of our desire for sense gratification that actually we are have to suffer in this mature world? And because of that mistake. And so if you accept the authority of the state, then you can live like a free man in the state. You can go here and there and everywhere. But as soon as you oppose, you become rebellious to the state's authority, to the laws, and you have a chance that you become imprisoned, that you get in jail. So it's very simple. If we are Krishna conscious and we don't indulge in unnecessary sense gratification and become focused on the desires of Krishna, which are for the welfare of his whole creation, and then actually we can live freely in the spiritual world. But if we become too much focused on our own sense gratification and indulge in unnecessary sense gratification, and then he said, this is the result, then you have to go into the material world and you have to suffer like anything. And you come to a point that you even don't understand anymore that you are suffering. And even you come to a point that you think that suffering is an enjoyment, and that it is nice to suffer. So, we all know this story of how King Indra fell from the heavenly planet and became a pig. And that Lord Brahma had to go to preach him to go back home, back to his duty. So also, we have fallen in this material world, and we are like, the example is, they are like a bird. You have a bird, he's for years in a cage. And then you open the cage, and said, you can go out. But he is so afraid of the freedom, that he don't get out, actually, and he is even opposing to get out. He's, because he is very much fearful of freedom. So there's a situation that Brahma comes and he gives us his knowledge, and here is the freedom. But we have doubts also, like, would it be nice to be out? So we are very much attached to our situation in this material world. But by reading this Srimad Bhagavatam, especially this kind of purpose, and then we have come back and like, yeah, I have to get out. That is my desire. So I will stop here. May I ask some commentaries or questions?
So you said that the problem of the Christian church is that they didn't allow the priests to marry. That's the problem. I mean, it's not. I mean, like, for example, churches that here alone, if they said the mother should not marry, I mean, it's a problem. If this mark is a problem, it's because the interior of the area of the system. But is it a problem of the mark or the problem of the rules?
No, I mean that, like, in our society, we have also priests, and we have monks. Sannyas is like a monk, and it was also a married priest. Yes. So, but in Christianity, like in Catholic Church, you cannot be a priest and be married. You have also monks. So it said that we don't say that there should not be any monks. So if one really want to become a monk, and he has the qualification, why not? You should not stop. But if one wants to be a priest, he feel like, but he is not completely 100% like on the Uttama Adhikara platform, or can give up the age. So it will not disqualify him to become a priest and have a family. Anglican church, you can become a priest and be married. In the Protestants, even the first priest in Judaism, actually, Aaron, he was a married man. Moses and Aaron, and Moses made Aaron the first priest, and he was a married man. So there's never Jesus Christ said you can become a priest unless you're not married. He never gave the instruction. It only started because you. We asked the question was to discard the millennials, I think.
Yeah, in the 1100 something, then they said, because before they could marry, the priests could marry, but then I think around 1100, then so many unmarried people were there, and they kind of forced that it had to become a rule.
Mm-hmm. excuse me if I'm wrong, but I thought the question was a little bit about the what you implied. I'm not sure whether you said it directly, but that actually the fact they couldn't get married is actually responsible for the sex abuse that's going on, and that is it. I think there's been quite a debate on that actually, and I think that's questionable, that assumption, because they don't have any sexual outlet and they're looking for some sexual outlet. Then the children become the victim. That is questionable.
Not only it is not the only reason, but it's discussion like that. Still people suspect that there's a strong reason for this.
They may do, but even though they suspect that, I think there is quite strong professional evidence to actually suggest that that's not the case. Oh. And I think we just need to be careful about making assumptions about a kind of causal relationship between celibacy and child abuse in this case. I'm not sure if that was the question.
It's the fault of the nose, actually, when we try to put the nose right. It also is the Henry VIII mother. They have the rule, you don't take just keep like, just close to marry one wife, they want more. And because of that, they had so much disturbance. So it's as a fault of the, in one sense, you can say the fault of those who didn't know how to deal with it. And they, like, Madame Honey was very excellent. And really was the last of the king, in a way that actually the king could rectify himself. But if somebody's not, is not really expert, so we can say, well, we can just do the blame of the person who's not expert, or the other person is doing the wrong thing, and he's free from responsibility, so how would that do that? It sounds like actually this is never the responsibility, it's not the responsibility of the person, but the sinful person, it's actually the responsibility of the person is if not being able to help this person to change his mind, so he's free from it, he's just a victim. So it doesn't sound
like, it's okay. Yeah, you mean that the person who viewed the pen to AP had not been, and didn't have done it well?
Thank you.